Life is complicated. Most of us get up every morning asking ourselves a litany of questions. Am I doing the best job I can at work? Am I succeeding as a father, a husband, a brother and friend? As a member of a society that demands men meet certain expectations, dismissing our emotional capacity and oversimplifying our existences, men are not typically encouraged to face their fears, insecurities, and trauma head on, essentially robbing us and ultimately our loved ones the opportunity to live a full life of authenticity and honesty. One that we owe ourselves and those closest to us. While we all come from different backgrounds and have challenges and lifestyles that are unique to every individual, the one common thread we do have is our capacity for love and healing. Rigorous honesty, open minds, and real organic conversation are what humans need to thrive and grow. Here on the Men Talking Mindfulness Show, we focus on helping men and those with men in their lives unpack some of these complex challenges by leveraging meditation and mindfulness practices. Each discussion is an environment free of judgment and criticism, with a focus on vulnerability, authenticity, and inner peace. Please join us, John McCaskill and Will Schneider, every week for a new episode. For more information on how to get a hold of us, please check out mentalkingmindfulness.com.
All right, everyone, we're starting the new year off a little bit different. That was our trailer. A trailer that was put together by a listener of our show, Rich Harris, and we're so very thankful for that trailer. And it wasn't our standard intro, which was also put together by Rich. Mm-hmm. But hey, here we are, John and Will. Welcome back to Men Talking Mindfulness, the new year, a new season. And I'm your host, John McCaskill, and over there, Will Schneider. And today, for our season 8 opener, and I got to say, in between the seasons, Will held down the fort. He put out some solo shows, and they were fantastic, and we appreciate you guys listening to those. But here we are, back together again, January 2024, and starting off the season 8 with a bang. And we're tackling this topic that is both challenging and critical, and we want to talk about bullying. I posted something on LinkedIn last week about bullying, and Will and I had decided to do this episode before that had happened. It's just coincidental that this event happened for my little boy, and we'll talk about that here shortly. And bullying, it's an issue that stretches far beyond the schoolyard, and it affects us all in various settings, including the workplace and the digital spaces. We've heard all about cyberbullying here in the recent years. That's a big one that we're going to talk about today. And in this episode, we're going to break down bullying, and we're going to understand its impact and navigate the solutions. We're going to explore the multifaceted nature of bullying. We'll examine how it manifests, not just in childhood, but in adulthood too. So many of us, just when we talk about the word bullying, we envision kids on the playground picking on one another. Well, it's much bigger than that, and it extends throughout our entire lives. We're going to hope to shed some light on the psychological impacts, unpack the complexities of adult bullying, and discuss its unique aspects when it involves men. Today, we hope not to only enhance your understanding, but also to explore effective strategies for dealing with this issue. And we're going to talk about the role of mindfulness and compassion in combating bullying. We're going to offer some insights and practical advice for anyone touched by this pervasive problem, which I believe is just about everyone. And together, we are set to unravel the intricacies of bullying and empower you with knowledge and tools for resilience. But first, before we get into all that, I'm going to turn it over to Will and say hello, brother. Good to see you, as always.
Yeah, likewise, John. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year's to everybody out there. I can't believe we made it to 2024. It's going to be a very exciting year on so many levels, not just our podcast. So we're here to help support and, you know, this excitement, but also keep us grounded and let kind of things move through us as we get into this very interesting 2024. But we made it, and we're here. And and in 2024, guess what is still available? Our merch store is still open, right, at mentalkingmindfulness.com/shop. So please support the show and let people know that you become more mindful by buying a shirt, buying a hat, getting a tumbler. We even have stickers on there as well. So thank you. We really appreciate you doing that. And again, that's mentalkingmindfulness.com/shop to pick up our merch. We have a retreat in Colorado Springs at a castle. It's the Be Well to Lead Well retreat, May 16th to the 19th. We have 9 or 10 people already signed up. So if you'd like to join us, don't waste any time. You can head to mentalkingmindfulness.com/retreat for information, plus on our homepage as well. Hey, once again, always, we're growing. Thank you for helping us grow. So if you're on TikTok or any other social media channel like LinkedIn or Instagram, you know, share our post, you know, let people know that you become more mindful by listening to Men Talking Mindfulness. Really, really appreciate that. Once again, thank you all for tuning in, for sharing our podcast, for helping us grow and becoming more mindful. John, let's jump in and talk about bullying. I actually thought I took a little break and went to Bozeman, Montana. What a beautiful place. Got out there to hike. And I was talking, this kind of a dude trip, talking with my guy friends, telling them about this episode that we're working on right now. And they're like, oh, you should have some sort of role playing in the beginning where like you're bullying me or I'm bullying you or something like that, right? Because we've kind of all been there. Like I personally have been on both sides, you know, not like my most shining moments when I am like bullying my little brother or somebody else. But
for sure.
You know, like we all grow and we learn and we can always do better. But also I've been, and we're going to get into it, like I've been on the receiving side of a lot of bullying from coaches, from the schoolyard, from elementary school to college to high school, you know, and even here in New York and even in the theater world. So, all right, John, let's start.
I was gonna bully you into doing your breathing practice.
Breathe, motherfucker. Teach us to breathe, Will. Like, you idiot, right?
I was gonna abuse my authority.
There you go. Right. That's what bullying sounds like. Okay, everybody. Let's calm down and just find what you do. 3 breaths. We're gonna do 3 little parachute breaths. Great little reset, great way to help us drop us into that calm, cool, and connected parasympathetic nervous system, which create more calm, clarity, connected, and all this wonderful self that begins to light up. But it always starts with a nice little exhale, the breath out. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Take a big inhale through the nose. Keep going, fill it up. Long, slow exhale. You can feel yourself just grounding through your body into this moment, following the breath. And again, in, exhale out, heavier, heavier, more relaxed, more present, more peaceful. So nice. One more time. In, big, big, big belly breath, exhale. Good. Take a couple moments, take a couple little micro movements, maybe like head a little side to side, get some blood flowing in that noggin of yours. right? I know we're here, John.
There we are.
It's going to be back, John. 8 seasons, man.
8 seasons. Yep. Love it. Coming up on 4 years. So, yeah, for those of you who may be a little confused, like 8 seasons, 4 years, we do 2 seasons a year, each one about 6 months. One starts in January, one starts in July, and that's how we roll. So, hey, also, I see some chats or comments in the chat already. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's great to hear from you guys. And we want to know from you guys as our audience, you know, what are your stories around bullying? You know, maybe you've even been the bully before yourself. And, you know, if you want to throw those in the chat, we'd love to hear from you guys as we're going through the show. We'll bring some of those up potentially if it makes sense to hear from those. So let's start off with defining bullying. That's kind of what Will and I do with a lot of these topics is we define what they are because, yes, we hear these terms all the time, but we don't necessarily truly understand what they mean. So the definition is being aggressive. It's aggressive behavior involving harm or intimidation towards someone perceived, that's key, as weaker. And the reason I say that is, perceived is key is there were times, and we're going to tell some stories through this episode, when I was growing up. So for those who don't know me, I was born in Cape Town, South Africa, and I moved to the States when I was 7. And I'd, you know, gone through the first grade in South Africa, and I had a South African accent. And then I moved to the small town of Ruston, Louisiana. And this is in the 80s, and Ruston, Louisiana
You know, it's in the South, so they have Southern accents, Southern United States accents. I come there with a South African accent as a little boy. And because I'd gone through first grade in South Africa, my parents felt, hey, he could start second grade. But the schooling system actually goes January to December in South Africa. Here, it's August to, what, May. Anyway, so I'd gone through half of first grade, but I was actually behind and I ended up getting held back from second grade going back into first grade. And I was instantly made fun of for being dumb. That, you know, people were like, oh, this kid got held back. He's a dummy. And then on top of that, I have an accent and, you know, a first grade.
You're a
kid.
Dummy with an accent. Yeah. Oh my God. You talk about, it's like you have a bullseye right on your chest.
Exactly. So, you know, and 7-year-old kids aren't exactly the nicest kids in the world. No. These 7-year-old kids, nor are they the smartest, obviously. And they start asking me like, oh, you came from Africa. How did you get here on an elephant? And, you know, they start picking on me instantly and start bullying me. And so I started to feel bullied right off the bat. And then, you know, because I was slightly older and I went through a slight growth spurt pretty early, I ended up being bigger than these kids pretty early, right? And I fought back. Even though I was perceived as weaker, I fought back starting very early and all the way through like middle of high school. I stood up for myself, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in fighting back, some of these bullies who perceived me as weaker, they later became my friends because I fought them and showed them that I was not weaker. And that's physically, mentally, emotionally. We're going to talk a lot about that. But anyhow, that there's something to standing up for yourself. And we're going to talk about that as well and what that can do for you mentally, physically, and emotionally for you and for your stance in society. But let's also talk about the forms of bullying, because quite often we imagine, again, with that word, we imagine the schoolyard with one kid coming up and picking up on another one. But there's tons of other forms of bullying. And before I get into that, I see that you might want to say something there, Will.
No. Well, I mean, thanks for sharing that story. And you touch on, there's like 6 major forms of bullying, but you touch on 3 of the 6, just as that little example there. You touched on social bullying, verbally bullying, and physically bullying. We didn't really talk about the physical, but you did get in fights, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so verbal bullying, which is probably very common for a lot of people, you know, expressing through words, it says, you know, includes insults, threats, name calling, derogatory, you know, did you write an elephant over here, John, from Africa? Derogatory remarks, you know, these can be face to face or, through other means like texting or you know, typing or something like that. Physical bullying, right, involves direct physical harm like hitting, kicking, or damaging belongings. That's like kind of passive-aggressive bullying, like trashing someone's car, notebook, or whatever else. Often the most visible form is the physical. And then the social, also known as relational bullying, involves damaging someone's reputation or social standing, often through exclusion, gossip, or spreading rumors, which, I mean, that cuts deep as well. You know, and then the other 3, we have cyberbullying, you know, because of the digital age, you know, this has been becoming a continually increasing problem. This is using digital platforms like social media to harass or embarrass someone, notable for its potential. And it's also part of why cyberbullying is so robust and so prolific, is because like there can be an anonymity behind it. And it's also a 24/7 nature. So you don't have to be at the schoolyard or be in school or whatever other kind of social setting. You can drop right into social media and just start harassing and bullying.
Keyboard tough guys.
Yeah, keyboards, exactly. Like fucking just. I've had that stuff happen before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then we have racist bullying. You know, targeting individuals based on their race or ethnicity involves racial slurs, stereotypes, or actions. And then we have sexual bullying as well, encompassing unwanted sexual comments, advances, or actions after overlapping with sexual harassment as well. So those are the 6 major forms, yeah.
But, and I want to touch on that, you know, the racist bullying, because that could be it's obvious, definitely racist bullying exists, right? But there's other ones even within that are similar, gender bullying, sexual orientation bullying that we don't have covered in our notes, but those are big ones, right? You know, I remember growing up again, and this is, I'll be completely honest, me being on the bully side, growing up when I was very young in school, and now I've kind of established myself as this tough guy because I fight back. But then I'm on the other side. Now I end up being the bully. And there was a kid that starts running track and cross country with us, and he was effeminate. And because he was, and I was this, I don't know, ultra macho tough guy, as ultra macho as you can be in you know, grade school and high school, whatever. And
with your bird chest, right?
I was bird chested. What's funny is I was getting made fun of by the football team for being skinny, but then here I was making fun of this other guy that was, you know, putting it all out there and you know, trying to run and I'm making fun of him for being effeminate. And so there's a lot of bullying that's similar to racist bullying, that again, sexual orientation bullying, gender bullying, and gender one, man, that's one that we don't have in the notes, but that can be, you know, between men and women, and it can go both ways, but it also can go between, you know, one gender who identifies as another. I mean, there's just so many different forms of bullying. Right. We have to be very careful of it because it does have deep psychological, mental, emotional impacts on everyone, including the bully itself, which himself or herself, which we don't really think about. So what are some of the negative impacts that bullying can have? I'll cover some of those here. So I talked about mentally, right? So mentally, you start to fear. Let's go back to that school ground, playground kind of example, right? In seventh grade, I had another kid picking on me. He was slight. I was fairly big, tall. I was skinny, but I was tall. And this kid was picking on me again for being skinny and everything else. And I started to fear him. I started to have a lot of anxiety about going to school the next day. And I'm sure my parents picked up on it. I never told them about it, but I'm sure they picked up on the fact that I was having anxiety about going to school. And eventually, this is kind of violent, but on the playground, there's this chain link fence, and you know, there's this wire that holds the chain link fence to the bars. And I go and I was like, man, if this kid comes up to me, I'm gonna finally straighten things out. And I unwrapped some wire this is not like really skinny wire, it's pretty thick. I unwrapped it and I wrapped it around my fingers and I put this one point out, maybe an inch or an inch and a half. And I waited, and sure enough, he comes up to me and he grabs me and he turns me around and he's about to start picking on me. And before he said a word, I just launched into him with this fist. With this wire, it's pretty violent. Like what could have happened, like I could have seriously injured this dude. That ended his bullying on me others.
Did you end up hitting him, or you just
I did? Yeah,
with the,
no, no, no. I punched him right in the gut with this thing, and he was doubled over, and he was later. That day he came up to me and he's like, hey man, sorry I've been picking on you, and he completely changed his tune. But the whole point is that up until that point I was afraid of him, and I was afraid of you know, going to school, and I suffered from, at a young age, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade, I'm suffering from anxiety, I'm suffering from, you know, stress, I'm suffering from depression because I'm being picked on. So those are some of the mental health impacts that can happen. But there's also, you know, physical, what can happen from those mental health impacts, what can bleed into physical, right? So that stress can manifest as headaches, it can manifest as, you know, stomach aches, sleep disturbances at a young age, or as adults, right? As an adult, if you're being picked on at work or you're being cyber bullied, that can really affect your sleep. It can affect your self-esteem. You know, start having those negative self-talk that we covered right before we went live on the show. Will and I were talking about negative self-talk, but what that can do to your self-esteem. And then, you know, academic and social impacts. If you start to worry about going to school as a young child, the last thing you're going to worry about is studying. And then what does that do for your social connections with your friends, your colleagues? If you start suffering from stress and anxiety, you don't want to hang around with them. So there's deep impacts to the person being bullied. But I also want to talk about the flip side. Like, as a bully, what's causing this person to bully? We all hear the saying, hurt people hurt people. Well, a lot of the time that bully has something else much deeper going on in their lives. Maybe they're living in a house that's broken. Maybe they, have a parent that's abusive, or coming to adult bullying, maybe they have some serious insecurities that they're taking out on you because you are threatening them. Maybe you look like you're going to advance up the corporate ladder faster than them, so they feel that they need to pick on you in order to bring you down to their level. So a lot of the time there's this psychological impact that's driving this from the bully's side. And sorry, man, I know I'm rambling here, but the post that I put last week was about my little boy. He's very young. He's not even in kindergarten yet. He's in preschool. He's getting picked on, and he and I are laying on the couch together, and he tells me this, and it broke my heart. I was like, oh my gosh, this is not something I thought I was gonna have to deal with for years, but this little kid is telling me that he's getting picked on in kindergarten, and the first instinct in me was like, all right, let's go kick these kids' asses.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like, let's
wire up those knuckles again.
Right? I'm like, man, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. And you can't tell your son to go and do that. Even though I did it at a young age, I can't tell my son to do that because that's just going to, make things worse. So I told him, I sat there for a while wondering how to handle this. And I told him, hey, man, I call him buddy. I'm like, hey, little buddy. These kids, they're picking on you because something is going on with them. Granted, he probably doesn't understand what I'm telling him, but I figure the earlier I start to tell him these lessons, the earlier I start to teach these lessons, the better he's going to get them. I'm like, these kids have something going on that's making them be mean to you, and it is not you. Something else is going on. So I want you to say a little prayer for them. And he sat there on my lap and said a little prayer for these bullies. And man, I don't know, because school's been out for a while and we're just getting back into school. I don't know if it's changed anything, but I think that's something that we're going to talk about later in the show again, is having compassion for ourselves. Yes, we always talk about that, but also having compassion for those who wrong us, and how difficult that is, but how important it can be. And if you're in a situation where you're being bullied, try to take a step back and understand why that bully is picking on you, and understand what the shoes that he or she may be in, and maybe approach it that way. Right. It may work, it may not, but it could be a really powerful way to handle the bullying. All right, sorry, man, I've been talking a while now.
No, not at all. You bring up a lot of great points, John, and it reminds me of some of my own stories. But like, to come back to what you said about like the bully themselves, like this could be the way they're raised. They can come from a father that's been bullying their whole lives to kind of straighten them out. And that comes from his grandfather, the father's father, because they didn't know how else to parent. You know what I mean? Like, some people, sadly, parent through intimidation, parent through shame, instead of empowering your child and letting them know, like, life is hard and you can get back up and keep doing the same thing, and I'm here to support you in that growth process, right, which requires a lot of patience and a lot of emotional intelligence, all those kind of things to raise a child that, isn't bullied, into or shamed into how you want them to be or what you want them to do. So that's where the bullying can be coming from, but also like more as an adult, like sometimes, if you're not aware of this, like if someone is stealing your power, maybe at the office or, maybe emasculating you at home in some way, like you might kind of shift and look for another, a victim, that you can have power over. So you feel like you keep your own power in some ways. So you're just proliferating, this bullying cycle by being bullied and bullying somebody else. So you can feel, the power, I think, is really an essential part of bullying, like the power over somebody else. And I don't know what that is in our, human DNA that wants us to do that. It could just, you know, it could be for men, probably comes back very much to that provider, protector, conqueror role.
Right.
Right. In order to really kind of live in those things, there is a certain amount of aggression, whether it's verbally or physically, or showing your kind of higher in the pecking order in the social ranking of things. And some people just don't know how to cope. Like, you know, what we've been continually have been talking about on this show is having healthy outlets for your stress, for your anxiety, so you don't get so overcome by these emotional states that you begin to take actions like bullying. You know, just so you can kind of feel, even for like a little bit of time, just a little bit of better about yourself, because you don't feel like a completely worthless piece of shit because all your power has been stolen away by someone that you kind of give your power to by allowing yourself to be bullied instead of standing up for yourself.
Right.
Another thing that came up for me, John, unless you want to have a comment on that, that's cool.
No, go for it.
Is a lot of my closest relationship as men has started in like a fucking fight or a bullying situation.
Yep.
It's weird.
It is weird.
I'm sure the guys out there and ladies out there, maybe it happens for the ladies as well. But let us know in the notes if like that's kind of been your case. Like one of my, coming back to like almost a little older than your son, I was like, you know, six or seven, I moved from one neighborhood in Hazleton to another. We got built a new house, and I'm in this neighborhood of all kids that are the same age. And the first time we meet these kids, Mark and Matt Lazar, and my brother Chris and me, were right at the same age. Like Matt is 6 or 7, and Mark is like 7 or 8, just like my brother. And the first thing we do when we meet each other, we get in a fight. You know what I mean? Like within like hours. And you know what? And Matt, to this day, is like, I've known him, my longest friend. I've known him since I've been 6. You know, now I'm like 51, which is incredible. But we still talk every year, a couple times a year. I'm very close with his dad and the rest of his family. And he has like 3 other siblings as well, like I mentioned, Mark. You know, even here in New York, like some of my New York friends, like, you know, we were I was doing some self-development work, like through something called Momentum Education. Highly recommend Momentum Education. You know, it's kind of like Landmark Forum as well in some regards. You know, but they had us working together as a team. You know, as I went through this like second iteration of the training that they offer, you know, and I was like given like a leadership role by the group themselves to like organize this particular event, you know, to help us, you know, like do the best we can with this one little nugget that we would do every single day and a couple of times a day that we were doing this like training. And for whatever reason, one of like the guys that was there, he tried to steal my job. Right. You know, that I was bestowed, you know, they gave this job to me. And I was like, so in that moment, I was just trying to take my job as we're trying to organize like 40 people, you know, to do this one little like it was like a 30-second event that we were trying to accomplish together and do it effectively. You know, he's trying to steal my job. And I stepped up like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is my job. Like, why are you, you know, doing this from me, whatever. And we got a little bit of a tiff. And then later that day, or I think it might've been the next day, he walks up to me. You know, he's grew up in Hell's Kitchen here in New York City. You know, he's kind of like comes from more of that, gangster kind of life and shit. He steps right up to me. He's like, dude, why are you disrespecting me? And I was like, oh shit, like this is going down. And instead of like cowering or kind of like changing my posture to diminish my power, I just like stepped up, went toe to toe, like maybe like 6-8 inches away from him. Like, dude, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's my job. Like, you know, you were disrespecting me in that situation. What's really going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And by me squaring up and standing up for myself, right? He, you know, we just kind of worked it out. Like, I wasn't expecting to like throw punches or anything like that. That's not my style, but I'm not going to back down. I want to get to the core of what's really going on here between the two of us. And we sorted it out right there. And he was like, he turned out to be a really great friend, you know, for quite a long time until he wasn't. you know, so that's that moment, like, you know, coming back to what you said about like the necessity of compassion in these circumstances, you know, coming back to what I said about like, we don't know like what their circumstances are at home or what their upbringing is or what they're dealing with right now. And bullying can be an expression of the unwillingness or the inability to cope effectively with like managing your own emotions. You might just be taking it on somebody else. You know, but it affects all of us. Like as a one more story, like as I played basketball in college and my coach was a piece of shit. Like, so, just to be honest, he was just not like, he was not good to me. He bullied me all the time. He saw all the talent I had and like all the ability I had to be a good basketball player, but he did not know how to coach me into my athleticism, into my gifts, and instead shut me down by shaming me in front of the team all the time, bullying me, you know, about like, you know, just, you know, one of the assistant coach said, you know, Billy, they call him back then, you know, he's like coach's whipping boy. And I was like, wow. So I just took it. You know, I mean, I wanted to play, you know, it sabotaged my self-esteem. Didn't necessarily affect my academic performance in some ways. It changed their social relationship on the team. So the team, when they wanted to, they'd fucking bully me just like the coach would.
Of course.
Because they're like, you know, that is learned behavior.
Right.
And it's, you know, so I never, you know, there were moments where I really shined on the court. But a lot of time I was just trying to duck for cover and try not to mess things up, which like the, you know, the barometer for the measure of what was, you know, messed up or what was messing up or what it looked like changed all the time. So I just couldn't win.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was really hard. And I'm sorry, John. And no, I felt so small, so little, so not my self, obviously not living up to my ability, obviously not having the best emotional and mental mindset as well. It just literally took me out of the game, took me out of my game. And
literally and figuratively.
Exactly.
And not just in that moment, but I'm sure it lasted for years.
We talked
about the impact, and that impact isn't just in that moment. It could potentially last for years. I mean, we've talked about this on the episode before, that bullying that I went through, quite honestly, gave me a low self-esteem. And I ended up wanting to become a Navy SEAL because of being bullied. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the work and I wanted to do it to serve my country and everything else, but I also wanted to be a badass.
You are a badass. And,
I don't know about it anymore, but you know, that impact lasted for years, and caused me a lot of self-esteem issues for years. To this day, I mean, I still struggle with it. At some points, you know, having that negative self-talk, it really can last for years. But I want to transition a little bit to some more of the faces of bullying. And we had a comment here just a minute ago about someone experiencing workplace bullying and it not being any fun. So what does workplace bullying look like? And it can look like belittling an employee. You could be a boss and belittling one of your employees, or a colleague of yours on the same level could be trying to undermine you by spreading negative rumors about you, kind of undermining that professional standing. Again, maybe feeling threatened by you because they see that maybe you're stronger, and then they come in, they want to undermine you. So there's that workplace bullying. And how do we handle that? Well, you know, I handled workplace bullying as a boss. People were bullied underneath me, not by me, but they were bullied by other colleagues, and they would come to me and say, "Hey, look, I'm being treated poorly," and we would have to nip it in the bud and pull them in there and just kind of air our grievances, right? If you remember Seinfeld and the Festivus thing, where you have and you have Festivus, well, airing of grievances, that can be a thing, and that can be very helpful. But bringing it out into the light instead of it being something that you do kind of undercover and trying to subvert everybody, there's value in just nipping it in the butt. And like you did with that one guy, you went and stood toe to toe with him, not with the intent of boxing him or anything.
Well, no. I mean,
that could be the intent in another situation, but you stood up to him so that he saw that you were in fact not going to stand for being bullied. So in the workspace, maybe take it up with your HR department or your superior and go and say, "Look, I feel like I'm being bullied by this particular employee." Now, what if the bully is your boss? That's another whole situation, right? Is there anyone else over him or her that you can bring this up with and go and address it face to face? Because that can be an incredibly toxic form of bullying, and you end up carrying it outside of the workplace and carrying it home and experiencing some of those impacts that we talked about before, the mental, emotional, physical impacts. And it starts affecting you greatly, and then it starts affecting those around you. If you bring some of that home and you have family, you have a spouse and children, it starts affecting you and those around you. It can be incredibly incredibly damaging. But what about in personal relationships? In personal relationships, there can be bullying, right? A husband and a wife. Sometimes the husband can come home, or the wife, depending, you know, situation. Whoever it is comes home and they've had a rough day at work, and they bring that home, and then they start taking it out on their spouse and their children. It can really be detrimental there. But, you know, little subtle jokes. I have a friend who's in a marriage, and she's constantly picked on by her husband, and he doesn't really think he's doing much, but he's said enough in a quote unquote joking way to where her sons have picked up on it. Her sons have picked up on it, and they have started making fun of their mom. That's bullying from the children. Those jokes, you've got to understand, you may not even realize that you are being a bully in those jokes, but it really does carry forward. And then it's seen by others, and then by you not standing up to that bully and it being seen by others, now you're going to have other people bullying you, just like you mentioned with the coaching situation. You ended up being the whipping child, right? And then carrying on with that coaching, the social circles, we can have bullying in those social circles. You become the whipping child within a circle of friends. And that could be physically, that could be emotionally, it could even be on social media, again, with the keyboard tough guys. So that's some ways that, you know, bullying can manifest itself other than what we've already discussed. But now, go ahead. It sounds like you.
No, yeah, no, no, it's all good. No. I just want to, Cheryl A. Cross, one of our listeners today, mm-hmm. wrote a good story, and also like a potential solution, whether it's at the schoolyard at a young age, but also you can translate this into the workplace or into your community if you're being bullied by your neighbors and shit, right? You know, she writes, "This is so valuable," the topic I guess she's referring to, so thank you.
Yeah.
She goes, "As a hypervigilant single mom to a son, I was a bit of a bully as a parent under the auspice of discipline and parenting."
I get that. Yeah. Not that I'm a single mom, but I've totally been a bully to my own children because I want to discipline them, and then realized afterwards that it wasn't under discipline. It was me having my own unrealistic expectations of my children and them not meeting that, and then being a bully as a parent. Thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So she goes on to say, "However, when my introverted son was tackled by another kid in grade school, it took everything for me not to go to the parent and bark. So I took a page from the anti-bullying book and invited the kid to breakfast with my son."
Good for you, Cheryl.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, see, this is like, so there's something, John, about getting together. Like, again, I stepped up right to this dude at this training, and I was like, what's really going on here, right? Yeah. So really standing up for yourself, but also trying to create, instead of creating more division between people, create a bridge. How can you bridge, right? Because, you know, we're human beings. We all have a common humanity in which we all access. And when you really sit and be with a person in a heartfelt experience and really try to get to the core of what is the strife or the disturbance between you, things can really start to change. And last thing Cheryl says here, so I took a page from the anti-bullying book and invited the kid to breakfast with my son. We never talked about the incidents, but we created a conversation outlet. And while they weren't best friends in school, they understood more about each other, and it gave my son a chance to level the playing ground in a non-aggressive way. Thank you for asking for stories. So that's Cheryl. I mean,
good job,
what a
Cheryl.
Great way to step up instead of, I think sometimes a lot of parents, and maybe this is just like because of it bleeds, it leads, whether it's on social media or, you know, in the media itself, you know, always like standing up for yourself and fighting and being more aggressive and, you know, instead of like, you know, coming to a place of compromise, coming to a place of conversation, coming to a place of connecting and collaborating, you know, or not necessarily collaborating, but getting to really see and be with each other can really solve a lot of problems instead of creating more of them.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I haven't ever done this, but I can imagine, you know, if I'm being bullied at work, maybe asking that bully out for a meal and you know, you may get turned down, but at least you're extending that olive branch, potentially ending the bullying situation.
Just imagine like in that situation, John, like just literally bringing that up, be like, yo, I don't understand. You know, it could sound like something like this, like, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, I've never done anything to this, that, or whatever, but like, I feel like you keep attacking me, you know, and keep bullying me. Call a spade a spade and be like, what's really going on here? Like, I only want to work with you in a productive way, in a kind way, in a peaceful way. So how can we get to that? You know, so what do we need to overcome in order to make that happen for us? Because if we do that, right, then we're, you know, we're going to feel better about ourselves, and we're actually going to accomplish more in the workplace than trying to, like, you know, bully one another or use bullying as a tactic to get shit done. Like,
it's totally counterproductive.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% counterproductive.
Yeah. 100%. Well, let's talk about, you know, that a little bit more. And being that the show is Men Talking Mindfulness, the show is not only for men, but the show is for, you know, men and those with men in their lives. So it's for everyone. Right. But I want to specifically hone in on what bullying can look like for men. Now, I know from having older sisters, bullying for women is different. Bullying for women can be very, very ugly. But I don't know enough about it to talk about it on this show. So I want to talk specifically about bullying for men. When I'm thinking about bullying for girls, all I can think about is that show Mean Girls, that movie Mean Girls, and how yes, it's all funny, but there's also so much truth in that movie. But coming to men, bullying men, I mean, Becca, my wife, she and I were talking the other day, and we're discussing why she has, you know, more friends than I do. And I was like, for men, it's kind of difficult to make friends in your older age, unless you're working together or maybe on the same basketball team, like church or whatever. You have some type of social circle that you're already in and you become friends. But if I come into a group and there's no hierarchy already established, even subconsciously, as a man, there's this kind of goal to kind of puff out my chest and walk in and think, hey, look, I'm the boss here. Yes, might not be a real boss, but there's this peacocking, right? There's this want and desire to establish yourself in the hierarchy. And that can happen in a social circle, and it can happen in workplace. We want to try to intimidate and to control others. And then as a boss or a colleague, we want to see potentially these other men denied promotions so that we can feel better about ourselves. Hey, right, I'm the commanding officer and you're just the operations officer. And I'm using military terms, but that's, I'm the CEO and you're just the CFO or COO. I'm gonna hold you to that position. So that's, you know, bullying among men. But then we've talked about the competitive side of things, right? How a lot of the time in competitive sports, we want to crush or kill, or we talk about the battlefield, right? We talk about the football field being a battlefield. It's nowhere even close, but that you'll hear that term quite often, and you'll hear athletes referred to as warriors. And coaches on some of these teams were like, hey, I want you to crush the soul of that other person. Instead of just being competitive, that competitive environment, it makes us think that we're tougher, and we hear all the time the term, hey, toughen up, suck it up, hey, it's, you know, the hurting the other person is just part of the game, right? Making them bleed. What was it? That football movie. There was a football movie where they were like, I want you to hit them so hard that they blow blood bubbles out of their nose. I was like, that is bullying right there. That's a prime example of bullying.
Yeah.
And then, you know, taking it one step further, there's sabotaging, right? You may not even overtly be bullying. You may be doing it undercover and sabotaging somebody's project so that they fail and that you can laugh at them. And that's something I think, yes, it does happen amongst women, but I think amongst men, it's just always, we want to establish ourselves in the hierarchy as the top dog, right? And I think that's can be incredibly harmful rather than, hey, sitting down and discussing things and being real men instead of the cowards. Like, I think honestly, bullies, when it comes down to it, bullies are scared. They're weak.
Insecure.
They're insecure. And really when it boils down to it, they are cowards. And I've been that coward. I have been that coward myself. I just wanted to touch on that.
I feel like they don't, you know, a bully, I mean, you know, it could come from many places. Like we talked about, it could programming from coaches or parents or, you know, even older siblings or something like that. Yeah. You know, but it could be, I think it's a massive at our age, John, you know, a younger age, like, you know, what your son's going through, what I went through, you know, I mean, I switched schools when I was in fifth grade. I went from a public school to a private school. You went from a larger classroom of like maybe 25 students to a smaller classroom of 14 students, 7 boys, 7 girls. Right. And these boys and girls have been together since first grade or kindergarten. So I'm like the brand new kid, you know, I'm like tall and I'm athletic, you know what I mean? And like these boys hated me in the beginning. They really started to fight with me a lot. But, you know, I think like there's something about, we should probably go deeper into literature or something like one of these days or have an expert on to talk about like this kind of this wiring of masculinity. That's even at a young age begins to express itself. But I do think it is coming from our parents as well, coming from our own power being raised.
And DNA, like genetics.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it could be ancestral. You just come from a fucking whole lineage of bullies or some, you know what I mean? Right. And you're raised in that environment. So, you know, I think it's a huge sign of insecurity. I just know it is. I mean, because I know when I'm bullying, there's a better way to find harmony in the situation and peace and have everybody win instead of you looking like you're like the fucking most awesome person because you're like bullying somebody and creating like success or victory in your life or something like that. And nobody wins in that game. Like you still feel like shit, you know, even like in a very, maybe a very deep subconscious way, the other person you're bullying, like, I mean, how is that relationship improving? How is that going to help any kind of situation you're ever going to be in again? Yeah. You know, how is that going to solve the problem that obviously exists between the two of you or something like that? You know, I feel like we've talked about compassion. I just, what you said to your son, I think is very exactly. It's like in the sense of how to overcome it. So it's like, you know, sometimes these bullies don't have another mechanism to cope. You know, I mean, they also see when you, and they also, I feel like when you're talking about that situation, when you're in a situation with like 3 or 4 other men, and so there's always one dude that's, or two dudes or three, all of everybody's trying to get to that higher pecking order. So they must, you know, begin to push each other down and bully each other in order to show who's like looking, seeming like the strongest, but the strongest person, what I'm experiencing, John, now is the one that it's just, they don't need to, you know, rise to that physical and emotional, you know, environment that they're in this kind of bullying situation, but being quiet, being humble, being listening instead of speaking, you know, it's like we have that, one of the episodes that I did record and I really suggest everyone listen to it is Know Thyself. And once you get to know that self, like, you know, in the 8 C's of the self that are part of that episode, you know, and really work to be that self and to get to know that self and live that self, you're realizing that, like, bullying is just it's not a great mechanism to help anything. You're really just destroying things in that situation instead of building things up.
Right. I mean, so, when it boils down to it, you talked about knowing thyself and being quiet, being humble. I mean, that's all mindfulness, which is why we're having this discussion on the Men Talking Mindfulness episode is that being mindful allows you to look inwardly. And when you start to look inwardly and you start to know thyself, you can see that maybe you're being a bully for reasons that you didn't even see at first because of your insecurities. And maybe at that point, you as the bully can even mend the bridges that you've been tearing up. You can go forth and say, hey, look, I'm sorry. I've been incredibly hurtful. Right. I've been pushing you down because I wanted to build myself up. And mm-hmm. and maybe you as the bully can be the one to fix things.
Yeah.
In the interest of time and being that we are on social media with this show, I want to talk about digital bullying. And okay. I know just about everybody probably watching, listening has been a victim of digital bullying, and perhaps you've even been the bully. I have posted stuff on LinkedIn that has done really well. And then in the comments, if you go and read the comments, then there's some jack wagon that says, you know, something mean and something to the effect of, oh, you know, I had, funny enough, I had a fellow SEAL bully me on social media a couple years ago. And Will, you are aware of this, because I was like, hey, man, I want to take down the fact that I'm a Navy SEAL off the show. I want to take it out of the beginning. I want to take it out of the intro, blah, 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 mm-hmm. because I was being bullied by this other SEAL. And then I realized, man, I'm giving in to exactly what he wants me to give into. And right. so, you know, I actually approached this guy via social media, and I was like, hey, I'll meet you in person. I don't know what it is what, you know, acts you have to grind with me, but I'll meet you in person, or I'll meet you on a virtual call, and we can discuss this and work it out. And I never heard from him again because
right. there you go.
He was calling me the coward. And in fact, he was
a fucking coward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time bullying in the digital age, it's huge. And it's something that I'm very, very concerned about as a parent, you know, with young mm-hmm. children. They don't have social media yet, but they will. And mm-hmm. I'm sure they're going to get bullied on social media. You know, young girls are told that their bodies aren't good enough, and young boys are told that they're not strong enough or big enough or whatever. And they get bullied. And I'm trying now as a parent to tell them now that the bullies are the weak ones. You are the strong one. But what can we do in the digital age to deal with bullies? What can we do? I'd love to hear from you guys as the audience. If you have been bullied on social media, how did you handle it? Or if you have children that have been bullied on social media, how did you handle it? And what do you recommend for our audience? I'd love to share that with our audience further. But yeah, I'll turn it over to you, Will. Any comments on cyberbullying?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I've done around cyberbullying, it, you know, and let me just say something about John. Like, John has like a very large following on LinkedIn. So he gets a very large engagement when he does put out any post. And I just want to say that because it's not like it's like, you know, a small thing or small numbers, like really big numbers. And it's amazing. It's probably, well, what would you say, John, is the number of like bullshit or bullying kind of posts that you receive or negative comments? Is what, like 10%?
Oh, percentage? Oh, no, it's probably much smaller than that. I will tell you, the different platforms are different. I've seen much more bullying on Facebook than I have on LinkedIn. LinkedIn seems to be a much more professional platform where there's much less bullying, but that guy that I was just talking about, that happened on LinkedIn. But yeah, it's probably, you know, on LinkedIn, probably 1 or 2% of the people who make negative comments.
It's not
that bad. But I will also say, being a retired Navy SEAL does help with not being bullied.
Yeah, so, right. Just I mean complete transparency. Name,
right. I'm not going to be an idiot and say, well, it's just because I am who I am. No, it's because of my background and I complete transparency. But I've been on Facebook before and, you know, posted something very similar to what I posted on LinkedIn and gotten completely different types of comments. So I would say that it does depend on what platform you're on, and then the types of people that you're engaging with. But then talking about types of people that you're engaging with, when the bullies put comments, a lot of the time they're just putting it there just to get a rise out of you, right? They're trolling. Like, 100%.
This is how they like kind of like, you know, this is how they feel good about themselves, or putting other people down, right? And that's like, you know, and a big thing about bullying as well, and You know, we talked, when I went through the self compassion training through Stanford, one thing that really made us aware of is self-esteem and like hyper and high self-esteem. And one thing we need to do in order to, when we are excessively attached to the experience on a daily and a regular basis of self-esteem, in order to access that self-esteem, we must push others down. Mm. It's a system. It's kind of a I am better than you system is what self-esteem does when you're very really trying to, I forget, it's like almost toxic self-esteem, if you will.
Yeah.
When you're using, self-esteem, you must push others down and lift yourself up. And bullying is one way to do that, because you can really God, I hate being bullied. I just feel like shit. Like I literally, as someone bullying, I feel it's just someone is stealing your power. Or trying to steal your power.
Yeah.
Right. But it's up to you, right? Whether you go toe to toe and square up and be like, yo, what's really going on here? In the cyberspace, that's what I'll do. I'll just be like, you hit the nail on the head, John. There's a lot of cowardice in bullying itself. And when you start to really get and pull the threads apart of whatever their fucking problem is, all of a sudden it just, there's nothing underneath it.
Right.
It's just them trying to whatever, they're having a bad day or whatever else is coming up for them. And they decide to pick on you. And they usually when you try to engage in actually a productive conversation, try to get to the core of the issue, it just devolves into them trying to bully you again, or changing topics, or maybe half-ass apologizing or something like that. And I just delete them. Or
yeah.
I've reported people on LinkedIn. I'm like, fuck this guy. Like, get this guy, he's going to do this to me. He must be doing other people. He shouldn't be on this platform. Or at least should be kind of slapped on the wrist a little bit, knowing this is not the way to behave ever.
Right. Right.
Especially,
talking about that. So you've reported them on social media.
Yeah.
What else can we do in the thought of my kids? Granted, they don't have social media yet, but they again, like I said before, they will. What can we as parents, as schools, and as individuals do to stop the cyberbullying or to at least curb it? And I think there are phones out there that are smartphones that don't have social media on them. I think that's probably going to be the first smartphone that I get my children when they're in their teens. Getting a smartphone prior to that, I think is going to rewire their brains in negative ways, because they're going to get addicted to it early. No judgment, just so I want to be clear. As a parent, I'm not judging you if you do, but I'm just saying that it has been shown in science. If you get smartphones and social media for children at a very young age, it can negatively rewire their brains. But I forgot where I was going now. The phones that are out there, there are some that don't have social media, that also have, the ability for parents to tune in to what's being seen by the kid or what's being said by the kid. And that might be perceived as intrusive, but you know what? I'd rather be seen as an intrusive parent than let my child be completely bullied. Now, I also understand that being bullied, it's probably going to happen at some point. And, there is, as much as I hate to say this, there is some growth that can come from being bullied.
Yes.
I know that sounds counterintuitive, but dealing with the bully, there can be a lot of growth through that. Do I want to protect my kids? Yes, absolutely. But do I want to put them in a bubble? No. What can we do as parents, as schools? I think that opening up the conversation about it, having the ability to see what it is children are doing on social media, and then addressing it openly and honestly with them. That's ways that I feel that we can nip things in the butt early on in the kid's life, so that later on it's not as much of an issue. But you got any thoughts on that, Will?
I've learned a lot. I mean, through being bullied, through going through all that bullying trying to play basketball to the best of my ability, I've decided, as I stepped into the role of coach and teacher, it's like, I never want to teach that way. I never want to coach that way. I never want to speak to someone that way, because I mean, I just know how it made me feel. So that's actually been very beneficial for me. I think being a kinder, gentler, you know, more present teacher, and really being more aware about like the emotional life of someone and what they're going through, or just even being aware of like, you know, like it's not all about me and what I want other people to do and how like I want to guide them into having a happier life. It's like, God, meet them where they're at.
Mm.
You know, that's like one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned as a teacher. The first lesson is meet your students where they're at. And in any situation, whether you're at work and you're working with new people, meet them where they're at. You know, and that could be different on a day-to-day basis, you know, in the sense that they might be having like a lot of struggle at home and they might come bring a lot of baggage into work. And, you know, I think erring on the side of being empathic, being compassionate and being kind, you know, giving people space and giving people the benefit of the doubt, you know, could be very beneficial and kind of pull you out of maybe if you have a habit of bullying or a habit of trying to exude power over somebody. This can be one way to, you know, to kind of be different in those situations. But but in order to get and deprogram this bullying, if that's part of you, and it could, you know, I mean, I have not been the best brother to my brothers at all, and even to my parents as well. Like I was, you know, I always felt like I was like fighting as a kid to like just not. I don't know. I just felt trapped in so many different ways. And I'd fight back by bullying my little brother. And, you know, I couldn't really bully my bigger brother. He was a lot stronger than me. You know, but it just like, it just was sadly what I did. And it was like a coping mechanism. But as I've gotten older.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. As I've gotten older, you know, I've been changing all those relationships and forgiving myself and asking for forgiveness, you know, from years of kind of behaving this way, but not really knowing any better. I've worked continually, and it's a practice to be kinder, to be more understanding, to be more present, to not rush to judgment, you know, to not be emotionally reactive, to not try, you know, to see someone else as a means to get to the end that, you know, your selfish ego is trying to, you know, get you to accomplish. Like all of these things, it takes time. It takes, we have self-reflection episode on this. You know, if you take time and just self-reflect every day about how you are in the world, and if you're a bully, you will start to unprogram, deprogram yourself and program yourself into a more holistic, happy, harmonious, peaceful way that really, you know, big thing for me, John, is win-win. We all get to go. Right, we all get to take a little piece of the pie. There's enough for everybody out there,
right.
And bullying is just a tactic to. I mean, like it's in fear. So many different ways, it's all fear. It's all fear. It's a scarcity mindset,
Scarcity mindset.
Total 100%. Fucking scarcity mindset, right? And it's a selfish mindset, you know. And it's completely unnecessary. You know, I would say 99% of the, you know, if you're in like a very hyper circumstance, you need to get shit done. You need to get out of there. If it's, you know, that's not even bullying. It's something different. So I hope I'm not, I feel like I'm rambling a little
bit. No, man. Great
points. I am making
points.
Sense, but yeah.
well, I mean, I think we've discussed a lot here today. We've discussed, you know, cyberbullying. We've discussed schoolyard bullying, spouse bullying, workplace bullying, racial, gender, sexual orientation bullying. The bottom line is that we've mentioned a lot of the time that bullying comes from a place of fear, comes from a place of insecurity. And we, as the person being bullied, can actually change things by showing compassion for that bully. I know that's as difficult as that can be. And if we are the bullying, like Will just said, if we're the one doing the bullying, like Will just said, then doing that self-reflection and seeing how you show up in the world, that can be a big way to change. And then if you've been a bully in the past, I talked about that one kid that was on the track team that I used to bully. I have since gone back, not in person, but via social media. And I told him, I was like, hey, man, I was a punk when I was growing up. And please forgive me. And he's like, he forgave me. And he's like, yeah, you made my life a living hell for a while. But I appreciate you coming back all these years later and saying something. So if you know that you have been a bully in the past, maybe maybe find out who you were bullying and go and apologize to them.
Yeah,
because that can be healing for both them and for you. So, hey, I think that's probably a good place to wrap this episode up. If you guys have any comments, you know, if you're listening later and you hear anything, please throw it in the comments, and we would love to address that via social media. If you're listening to the podcast later, jump on social media and let us know what you think. You know, and if you want to bully us about the show, go ahead and do that.
Fucking bring it. We'll sit and be compassionate with you and kind and try to get to the core of what your grievance is, and, you know, make changes if that's what you need, you know, or maybe, you know, just don't listen to the goddamn thing. Just kidding. You know, but we do the best we can here. One thing I just want to say, you know, to encapsulate kind of what, you know, the work we've done here is standing up for yourself, but being smart about it too. You know, if you're like in a heightened circumstance and this bully might be like be very violent, then obviously pick your spots, you know, call the police if you need to or some shit, you know what I mean? Or like call an HR if you're in the workplace. But, you know, if it's just like, you know, this person is obviously insecure and doesn't know how to like deal with like adult situations, maybe sit them down. And in that situation though, too, I think it's really key not to shame, not to blame, not to like, you know, bully them, you know, in another way, but really get to the point like, hey man, you know, we're just two human beings. We work for the same company. You know, this doesn't seem to be a very effective way that we should be working together because it's counterproductive and you feel like shit, I feel like shit. I was like, how can we make things better? And just by putting the question out there, right, you know, could really make a huge difference. Like one last story, and this wasn't really a bullying situation, but it was, I don't know, I just kind of stepped up. I was like in my apartment in Soho in New York City, and I was like, I have an apartment, like someone lived below me, right? Never met the guy before, but I would move stuff on my hardwood floor and all of a sudden get a little like hockey stick on the ceiling. Like, I think I was, you know, he was like banging on the ceiling, like, hey, you know, like be quiet. And I didn't know, you know, I was like, why is he banging on the ceiling? I didn't even know I was that loud. I did not know I was that loud. I just was unaware. And the one day I made a lot of noise, and all of a sudden within like 30 seconds of making this noise, knock on my door.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh shit. I was like, open the door, you know, and just, you know, not cowering, just like, hey, what's up? And he's like, you know, never met Rob before. He was my roommate downstairs. And I was like, hey, Rob. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, oh, you're making all this noise, blah, 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 and la, la. And instead of being like, oh, well, fuck you too, or you're an asshole, or whatever, you know, I just said, I'm really sorry, Rob. How can I be a better neighbor? Tell me what I
need. Oh, nice. Good for you.
And it just came out. And
I'm sure that defused
him. And he's like, yeah, it just immediately grounded him instead of being all emotionally excited and, you know, and wanted to like almost get into a fight or not like that was going to happen. That's like, and also violence is like the lowest form of communication. I mean, that's a fact. Like there's several other ways to solve a problem instead of getting violent. And I just said, and he's like, hey, look, like, you know, it's a little loud. You did this, that, and the other thing. You drop things. And I was like, oh, I was unaware. I will make changes in the future. And if anything comes up, you know, as I continue to live here, just knock on the door, let me know. And, you know, sure enough, we're coming in out of the building. Hey, Rob, how you doing? What's going on? You know, we became friends.
There you go.
And
how could that have ended up if you had just gone and started cursing him out and everything else?
Yeah.
It could have gone completely sideways.
Exactly.
So good for you. And I just got to make a comment. I just now realized that my black shirt kind of blends into the outside or the backdrop. So it kind of looks like I'm just a dancing head here.
Yeah, I know, right?
So for those watching, thanks for putting up with my black shirt on a black background and the talking head. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll wrap it up here with a grounding practice shortly, but you know, just in case you tune out before that, we wanted to say Happy New Year to you all, and we very much appreciate you all. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with your friends, your family, anyone that you think could get value out of it, and help us to grow the show by subscribing on YouTube, by subscribing on the different platforms, Spotify, Apple, and giving us a review. We really appreciate those reviews and let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we could do better. We appreciate you. That all said, I'm going to wrap it up with the grounding practice, and I'll turn it over to Will here when I'm done with that practice to wrap it up in a nice bow. So we're just going to do, again, three nice, strong breaths, focusing on the physical aspects of our breath. And if closing your eyes feels comfortable to you, then I invite you to do so. Otherwise, just soften your gaze. And we're going to start with a nice big exhale, breathing out all the air, emptying your lungs all the way to the bottom, holding empty for a second, deep breath in, filling your belly first, then your chest, hold and release, release, release. And think about what that word release means as you're doing so, and holding empty at the bottom, deep breath in, into your belly, into your chest, hold and relax, relax, relax. Think about what that word means as you do so, holding empty at the bottom. One final breath in, into your belly first, and into your chest. Hold and let it go, let it go, let it go. Think about what that means as you do so, and now wrap it up. Bring some movement back into your body. And if your eyes were closed, go ahead and blink them open. And Will, brother, another great show. Thank you so much for being here with me. And happy new year to you, and happy season 8 to you. And over to you, brother.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, John. We're excited to have another eighth season, or this eighth season, and many more seasons. We got some good comments here saying, hey, congrats and have a great 2024. A lot of good comments here on cyberbullying, and stay connected, guys. Like, this mindfulness movement amongst everybody, and definitely our community, mostly men, is growing. And it's amazing how many more and more men and people are waking up. And because of the unbelievable amount of stress and anxiety that, you know, the kind of world is creating now in so many different realms, whether it's like work or politics or, you know, like online social media stuff. So it's growing because it works. Stay connected to Men Talking Mindfulness, share it with your people, invite more people in, come on our retreat in May. Let's have a better year together. Right, working together, right, to live happier, healthier, and more harmonious lives. That's what we're here to do. And we're going to keep driving that message home this entire year and into the future. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. John, I love you so much.
And love you back, brother.
Thank you. It's great to be do another season, have another year together. And peace, everybody. We really appreciate you being here and listening. Peace. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you walk away with some new tools and insights to guide you on your life journey. New episodes are being published every week, so please join us again for some meaningful discussion. For more information, please check out mentalkingmindfulness.com.